It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Good morning, America. I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in this week for Sandy Rios. It's a delight to spend time with you this morning talking about the important issues of the day. I've been with Sandy this week, and I am very appreciative for Sandy for letting me have the time to spend with you this morning. I am the president of the Public Interest Legal Foundation. We are a nonprofit charity dedicated to fighting voter fraud and promoting election integrity. You can follow me and Twitter at ElectionLawCTR. That's ElectionLawCTR. I'll tell you what, there's been a lot going on this week, but it really is a story of an election coming up. The election is really happening now, as we talked about yesterday. In just 32 days, early voting is going to be taking place in North Carolina. That means the election is effectively occurring in 1 month. How about that? So we're going to have a guest today. Hans von Spakovsky is joining us to talk about the latest regarding mail balloting, voter fraud, and how the election is going to take place. Later on in the hour, we're going to be joined by Linda Kearns, who writes for Broad and Liberty in Philadelphia. And, you know, you guys out there hopefully are having civilization not disappear before your very eyes in your hometown. But Linda's going to be calling from Philadelphia, where she has a story to tell of what happens when things start to break down, when the garbage doesn't get picked up, when the police no longer enforce the laws, because that's what's happening in Philadelphia. And it's really worth hearing, because what prevents it from happening in your neck of the woods? Well, that's a really good question. But we're talking about the election now. And I'm joined by Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Good morning, Hans. Or not. We'll get Hans up in a moment. Joined by Hans von Spakovsky this hour. And the election is occurring effectively in the next month. And we're all going to be voting. You know, the Public Interest Legal Foundation issued a report just this week about Florida. We had an opportunity to look at the voter rolls in Florida and found lots of problems. For example, thousands of deceased voters are still on the list. Miami-Dade has 2,323 deceased voters. 45 votes were cast by those who have passed on in the last election. And this is not unique just to Miami. This is not just unique to Florida. This is a problem nationwide. And one of the problems is if you mail these people ballots, if you just automatically mail ballots out, then the problems that are already on the voter rolls are going to be made worse. And on top of that, we have problems with the mail. Hans, I think you're back now, aren't you?
I'm here, Christian.
Very good. Well, look, Hans von Spakovsky is at the Heritage Foundation. Hans manages a variety of election-related issues. He's a many-time guest of Sandy Rios here on American Family Radio. Hans, I noticed today that, you know, you and I and others have been talking about how you can't trust the post office, and that the post office is not the organization that ought to be in charge of electing the president, because they always bring me our neighbor's mail. What's going on in the sense of, in the news today, it looks like someone is to blame for the problems of the post office, at least according to the media. What is that all about?
Yeah, I actually wanted to laugh when I read the story. The Washington Post has a story saying that the head of the Postal Service, who was a donor for Donald Trump, has put in all these changes that are intended to make the Postal Service more efficient, because they've been losing huge amounts of money for many years, and they quote all these postal union leaders and employees saying, oh, this is going to cause huge problems. We won't be able to deliver the absentee or mail-in ballots. And the reason I wanted to laugh about it was that these changes apparently took effect in mid-July, Christian. And you and I both know the Postal Service has been having problems delivering absentee ballots for years, even just this year. Remember, the Wisconsin primary was April 7th. The District of Columbia and Maryland primaries were beginning of June. The New York primary was at the end of June, June 23rd. And there have been reports coming out of all of those states about big problems caused by the fact that the Postal Service did not deliver absentee ballots to many voters, and to other voters, they delivered them too late to be counted. So it's a little difficult to blame the Postal Service's problems on a Trump appointee whose changes didn't take effect until July.
We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation about turning our elections over to the United States Post Office. And I'm Christian Adams in for Sandy Rios on American Family Radio. You can join the conversation at 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. Hans, I noticed that in Virginia, the State Board of Elections in Virginia is considering a regulation, never mind the law, right? The law, we don't worry about laws and as much as we used to, it seems. But they're thinking about passing a regulation that says, hey, it doesn't have to have a postmark on the mail ballot. It doesn't have to come in by election day. Just send it in. Have you heard about that, Hans?
I have, and they don't have the authority to do that. But as you have said, unfortunately, ever since Governor Northam took over as the governor, he appointed folks to the state election board who basically believe they can do anything they want. And what they've been essentially doing is implementing all of the changes that the progressive left wants, including getting rid of basic security protocols like that one. And folks should understand, having a postmark on an absentee ballot envelope that's being returned is very important because you want to be sure that it has been postmarked and put in the mail before the end of Election Day, because otherwise people can wait until after Election Day when they are seeing preliminary results and then do their vote. And that would be fundamentally unfair for half people voting after the election.
Isn't there supposed to be a Republican on this Virginia election board? I mean, if there is, this guy should be like front and center screaming bloody murder about this. I don't think I've heard much as far as resistance to what the Virginia election.
I haven't either. It's a three-member board. Because Democrats control the governorship, only one of them is a Republican. And, yeah, I haven't heard a single word or read anything anywhere in the press about the sole Republican on there protesting and pointing out the problems with doing this kind of thing.
Well, maybe they need to put you on that state election board. We're listening, talking with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation about the upcoming election. Hans, can you tell people the best way to hold an election? Like, if you were in a perfect world, what in is the best way to do it?
Well, the best way to do it is with in-person voting and without weeks of early voting and allowing absentee ballots, but only for those who really need to vote by absentee ballot, people who are physically disabled or sick or, you know, can't make it to a polling place because of our, because, for example, they're in the military and they're overseas. But you should have in-person voting where you can see yourself putting your ballot into the ballot box rather than handing it over to the Postal Service, hoping that they get it there in time. And you vote in person by showing an ID so they can authenticate your real registered voter. And when you registered to vote, they check to make sure that you are actually a U.S. citizen.
Back in the spring, Hans, Congress gave $400 million of your tax money to the states to address coronavirus election protocols. And of course, a lot of states are going to use it to move toward all male voting, or at least heavy male voting. Is Congress actually thinking about throwing more money at this issue?
Yeah, unfortunately, they are. Democrats are pushing for upwards of $4 billion of additional funds. Republicans, I think, are trying to resist that. But as you know, the way things work in Washington, there'll be some compromise. So it's pretty clear some amount of money. We just don't know whether it's going to be $4 billion or $1 billion or what it's going to be. The problem is, look, as you say, the state's got $400 million. That money was intended to help them deal with the COVID-19 crisis. That was more than enough money to put in the kind of health safety protocols in polling places that health experts have called for. They don't really need more money. And anybody who thinks they can't vote safely, actually, the CDC just released a study on Wisconsin, April 7th. They did have a primary, yes. Lots of people voted through the mail and had problems doing it, but several hundred thousand people voted in person. They used all the things we're seeing when we go to our retail stores, you know, line spacing, people wearing masks, et cetera. CDC says there was no spike in COVID-19 infections.
We're talking to Hans von Sikoski at the Heritage Foundation. You can join the conversation at 888-589-8840. So I guess, Hans, the message to Congress is no more money. If you're going to call your Senate office or your House office today, no more money for what they want to do to our elections. States can run it themselves. Brian, you're in South Dakota. Do you have a question for Hans? Good morning. Go ahead, Brian. Well, I guess Brian is not there. Apologies, Hans. The excuse for all of this isn't it, Hans? Coronavirus. Now, have they ever had an election anywhere in the world where there was a terrible epidemic taking place right in the middle of an election? Have they ever had that circumstance anywhere?
Oh yeah, and other jurisdictions have successfully held elections. The best example of this is Liberia. 2014, in the midst of the Ebola epidemic, it was sweeping West Africa, a much more dangerous disease than this. They followed all of the recommendations made by health experts. Again, the things we're seeing here, line spacing, use of disposable pens to mark ballots, and they were able to do it safely without any problems. But look, even in the midst of this current epidemic, South Korea has also been hit by COVID-19. On April 15th, they held their national elections. 29 million South Koreans went to the polls. Again, they put in all the health safety protocols experts are calling for in the polling places, and the reports from their health agencies, similar to our CDC, says, guess what? There was no spike in COVID-19 infections.
And just in case nobody heard what disease you said, could you repeat what was the disease in Liberia?
It was Ebola. Ebola, right. Which, as you know, has a 50% fatality rate.
Yeah, that's the disease where, like, blood will come out of your eyes and your ears and your nose. And you're right. It's almost a majority of cases it's fatal. And yet they held a national election in the middle of an Ebola epidemic in 2014 in Liberia. There's ways around this. Hans, what can you tell people they ought to do? I get that question all the time. What can I do in the election? Real quick, we're running out of time. What should they do?
Election officials right now are deciding how to conduct the election. You need to call your local county election officials and state legislature saying you demand the right to be able to vote in person in your polling place.
Thanks a lot, Hans von Sikoski, the Heritage Foundation. Thanks for joining us, Hans. I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios in the morning. What happens when civilization breaks down? What does it look like? Well, guess what? It's happening in the United States somewhere. We're going to hear from someone in the middle of it. Coming up next on American Family Radio.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 27 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
It's Truth for Youth Week. And whether students are in school, online, or somewhere in between, everybody needs Jesus. Let's get the Word of God to as many students as possible.
First time I heard about the Truth for Youth Bible was on American Family Radio. I promised myself that I was going to give it to someone who wasn't following Jesus.
The Truth for Youth Bible appeals to students with the entire New Testament and full-color comics which present the gospel and moral truths.
I just want to thank you so much because after reading it, I decided to give my heart to the Lord.
Revival Fires International will give one Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 and 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend this school year. Visit truthforyouth.com. That's truthforyouth.com.
The Truth for Youth Bible inspired me and led me to Christ.
That's truthforyouth.com. Help spread God's word with the Truth for Youth Bible and AFR.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text #250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Text #250 with the keyword baby. Hundreds of Christians turned out over the weekend to protect a giant cross on the campus of New Hope Christian College in Oregon. Antifa claimed the cross is a racist symbol. They plan to either deface or tear down the icon, which was originally built on public land. The cement cross stands 51 feet high, was originally built as a memorial to war veterans. It was relocated to the college in 1997 after a federal court ruled it could not stand on public property. Hundreds of Christians and even some non-Christians turned out over the weekend to send a message to the Antifa thugs. Many were armed with Bibles and guns, hoping one or the other would ward off any attackers. Pastor Wayne Cordiero says Christians across Oregon are tired of the lawlessness, and they decided enough was enough, so they took a stand. And it worked. As of today, the cross at New Hope Christian College is still standing. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning. I'm Jay Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios this week. Thank you, Sandy, for the opportunity to be with all of you guys out there in the real world. I'm here in Washington, D.C., so you need a little dose of the real world. We've been talking about the election coming up and how we're going to be voting. Also joining us next segment will be Linda Kearns. Linda writes for Broad and Liberty, and that's a Philadelphia-based publication. And if you want to hear what could happen where you live, what could happen, then you need to hear from Linda about what is happening in Philadelphia as far as the breakdown of law and order and just basic things. But we're taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840 about the upcoming election and how we're going to vote, how mail voting is not trustworthy, no matter what you hear. We got Brian in South Dakota. Brian, take two. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. This is kind of goes across the board, but you know, I've been trying to encourage our senators and congressmen at the federal level to stop falling prey to the presupposition. And the presupposition is that we have a medical crisis in this country. And what we really have in this country is we have a economic crisis, we have a constitutional crisis, and to be perfectly frank, we have an antichrist crisis. And every time the federal government, it's like Ronald Reagan said, I'm the federal government, I'm here to help. All they're doing is fueling. That segment you just had is a perfect example. Send more money to the states so that the left can take a stronger stronghold.
Right. And that's exactly, in case you missed it, here's what's happening. $400 million was sent to the states to run an election, to frankly do vote by mail in a lot of places. The left wanted more. They wanted $4 billion, and they still want more. They want $4 billion so they can fundamentally transform how we vote. Well, they're running out of time, and there's a new COVID bill coming through Congress right now, and the left wants to add more money. They want their $4 billion to take over the elections, and there's no way that the Republican senators are going to allow that. But unfortunately, and here's the hard part, some Republicans think that they should give a little bit. Let's give them something. We have to have a place to do something about this. So my approach, and Brian, it sounds like it's your approach, is no more money. Stop giving money from Washington, D.C. that frankly is barely exists. It's probably being printed. Stop giving money to the states to do what they're perfectly capable of doing with the first $400 million they got. That's where we are today. We're taking your calls at 1-888-589-8840. Are we going to be able to trust the results? What happens if, in fact, the states with mail voting and places like Virginia that are getting rid of postmark requirements, if the state board has its way, what happens when those places don't have results? Forget about staying up late on election night, folks. That might be the only silver lining here, is you get to go to bed early. Because it's not going to be decided on election night. Forget about that. And you guys know what happens if there's not results in time? Like when I mean like tabulation dates in the Constitution and under federal law, guess who gets to become the President of the United States? Under the Constitution and the laws. This is real serious civics questions. Listen up, kids. Guess who gets to become the President of the United States while the results are trying to be figured out? You know the answer to that one? I'll tell you in a second. David, you're in Louisiana. What do you have to say?
That was my question. Constitutionally, if the votes are not counted in time to determine that, I would guess the Speaker of the House would become President of the United States. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. It's President Nancy Pelosi. President Nancy Pelosi would become president. The Speaker of the House becomes president if the tabulations are not completed by the postmark dates, by the dates in the law. She becomes the President of the United States. So you can see where a lot of really wild theories about what's going on here come into play. Is this deliberate? Are we designing chaos?
I wish
it was like the good old days, yeah. Right? Where, you know, I remember in 1976. Actually, I remember the 1972 election too. But I remember 76. We knew who the winner was before I went to bed. Same with 80 and 84. This business of the last couple elections is just tedious. But we're taking your calls on American Family Radio. 1-888-589-8840. Should we be spending more money, federal dollars, to give to the states to change the way we elect the president and Congress? Charles in Ohio, what do you have to say?
Hey, good morning. Really enjoying listening to you this week. I don't know what you were just saying about, how Democrats want something. I'm sure some Republicans do it too. So in other words, right now they're thinking, hey, the people need money for this COVID pandemic to help them stay alive, to help the businesses run. And that's what they should be focused on. Democrats are saying, well, we want something if we're going to give to the people. And I wish some Republicans would take a camera in there and get them saying that on camera and just, you know, flash it all over the news, because then right there would be, you know, a lot of proof that they're saying, no, we want voting. Voting is more important to us than the people who are starving.
That's a great point, Charles. Think about what Charles just said. On one hand, you have coronavirus relief bills going to hard-hit people who need it to buy groceries, who need it to pay their rent, businesses who need it to stay open. On the other hand, and let me let you in on some inside Washington, D.C. information here. The $400 million that went to the states to help run the election goes to consultants, goes to companies who promise to do some sort of consulting work or artwork or advisory work. It's all for business consultants to get in on the graft of altering how the election is run. It's not for people with like Lysol and wipes. Maybe some of that in the sensible places where you have good secretaries of state. Oh, by the way, who are some of the good secretaries of state? The good state election officials. I'll give you some names. John Merrill in Alabama tops the list. Other great states, West Virginia, Louisiana. You got a great secretary of state in Louisiana. Florida's pretty good. Georgia's great. I was not bad. Ohio, could be worse. Tell you some bad ones. Michigan. Michigan is among the craziest. But this is what happens. In the places where there is an ideological tilt to the left, this money is not being used for Lysol wipes and masks. It's being used to pay consultants. That's how your money is being spent. Jimmy, you're in Mississippi. You've had some really good secretaries of state in Mississippi, like Delbert Hoseman. What do you have to say this morning?
Well, I would just like to say that, like I said, I'm totally blind in sight, but I've got eyes in my heart. And it is obvious that they are harming the children about the school thing. This left is using these bailouts and this mail-in voting is nothing but a fraud. It doesn't take, like I said, a blind person can see that.
And it's just you just made my day. Right. So
anti-Trump. I mean, this is spiritual warfare. They're against the church, but you run your casinos. I mean, it's just the devil at work. I mean.
Well, there you go. Look, Jimmy, I'll tell you this much. They have been, you're right, it's COVID is hurting the kids, not going back to school, we're trying to change how we elect the president. I'll tell you, this is how history gets written. This is what history is. History is when things get rough. That's when history gets made. The 90s, for example, ain't going to have much history. Things got rough in 2001, in September 11th. That's when history gets made. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just describing what is. So here we were in America on this merry glide where things were just cruising along, the internet's there, and then boom. Boom. Like always happens in human history, a bug shows up. Oh, and you can go look and research what the Black Plague did to reorder Europe, to create a mercantile class, all sorts of cultural impacts. Now, this isn't the Black Plague, and thank heavens we have penicillin, or its derivative antibiotics. So history doesn't hit us so hard like it did Europe. You want to talk about people suffering there, bring out your dead every morning. But this is our mini version of it. You are living in it. And bad, wicked people take advantage of circumstances like this. Bad, wicked people hate America. They have hated America. They've been learning in schools that America is bad, that we need to get rid of America. And I am not overstating this. There are op-ed articles in the Washington Post by law professors of Georgetown Law School saying get rid of the Constitution. Its time is up. Now, I've said this before on this show with Sandy Rios, and some of you have heard this, so I apologize. But the Constitution is the single most important document, well, maybe the second most important document in human history to form a government. I'll say it's the first. That allowed you to speak freely, worship freely, live freely, own property, not have soldiers kicking your door in the middle of the night, treat you equally on the basis of race. Oh, yes, we've forgotten about that lately. All the severed limbs and blown heads in places like Chickamauga and Cold Harbor so people could live freely without race becoming an issue. All of the millions and billions of dollars in sunk treasure to create a country that enshrined racial equality in law. But like I told you yesterday, equality is no longer vogue. It's equity. Equality in law is now offensive to people. That's how crazy it is getting because of these wicked people. Equality in law is yesterday's standard. It's kind of like Christopher Columbus. Oh, he was good 100 years ago. Now we throw paint on him. You see how this works? When the wicked get a voice? Because America to them is an evil place. Because they're nihilists. They're full of hate. They despise goodness. I can go down the list. You're going to hear a lot about this in the next segment. What's happening in some of our big cities. An eyewitness will be with us, Linda Kearns. Stay tuned. So equality is no longer in vogue. It's equity. Everybody has to be the same. And there's only one way to do that, and that's with an axe. There's only one way to make everything equal, and that's by cutting people down and destroying and redistributing wealth and taking and stealing and appropriating. We know this. You know this in your heart. And you know what you're up against. I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm in for Sandy Rios. We're going to take your calls throughout this hour, 1-888-589-8840. But I want to tell you about National Truth for Youth Bible Week. Help us give away thousands of free Bibles to teens. It's Truth for Youth Week, AFR and Revival Fires International. Want teens to share the gospel with their friends as they return to school. Help us get the Word of God into the hands of teens across the nation. We need you to help equip teens to push back against this rebellion, this anarchy, this lawlessness raging across our nation. They're going to give one free Truth for Youth Bible to every student between the ages of 13 to 18 who promises to pass it along to a friend. Their goal is to get 60,000 Bibles this year into the hands of teens. Parents can order their Bible on behalf of the son and daughter, or if you're a teenager, you can call to get your own. You can also order large quantities of the Bible for just $2 each. Now, there's two ways you can get this. First of all, visit truthforyouth.com. You can order online. It's real easy to do it that way, especially if you're a teenager, right? Or you can call 1-800-733-4737. That's 1-800-733-4737 between the hours of 8 and 4:30 Central Time. So after the show, don't go away. Stick with us the rest of this hour. That's National Truth for Youth Bible Week. It's your chance to make a difference in the lives of youth. I'm J. Christian Adams. I'm subbing for Sandy Rios today. Thank you for listening. Up next, we have a horror story for you. We have a real world report about what happens when the lunatics take over. And in this particular instance, the lunatics have taken over a major American city where they are deconstructing civilization. I'm not overstating that, folks. It's as bad as rats the size of cats running around. We'll be back next on American Family Radio. I'm J. Christian Adams.
as Christians, there should still be opportunities to speak to the culture, to preach the gospel, and to become what they would see as an agitator.
Airing the Addisons.
Man, this church is these people of God are turning America upside down. Is our culture saying that about us in America? No, because we've allowed America to infiltrate and co-opt the church. The world is turning our churches upside down.
Oh, my goodness.
Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
So Aaron took it as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. And behold, the plague had already begun among the people. And he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stopped. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Often when the concept of intercession is raised, we normally think about prayer. And we should. Prayer is one form of intercession. Here we see another, living intercession. At the climax of a plague, Aaron runs into the fray, armed with incense, and where he stands, the plague stops. Aaron literally stands between the living and the dead. May God move us to be living intercessors for our day, and where we take our stand in Christ, the plague stops.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Public debate over hydroxychloroquine, or HCQ, is so cobbed up it's difficult to separate truth from outright fabrications. Well, one of the world's leading epidemiologists, Dr. Harvey Risch, says it is very effective if taken within 5 days of the appearance of symptoms. The FDA has now pulled its emergency approval for HCQ. This decision is not based on science, but on politics. Risch points to 12 clinical studies that show it works, but HCQ has been blacklisted by Dr. Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, apparently as a favor to their big pharma buddies who can't make a dime off HCQ, but stand to make billions from a vaccine. But the FDA also said that doctors who think for themselves and care for their patients can still prescribe HCQ. That is, if there are any doctors like that left.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Beirut used to be known as the Paris of the Middle East, a beautiful and civilized oasis in a region that has, for centuries, been racked by death and destruction, much of it at the hands of jihadists. Today, that city lies largely in smoldering ruins as a result of devastating explosions that destroyed what was left of its Christian quarter and vital port facilities. While what triggered this catastrophe is unclear, we do know that Hezbollah warehoused nearly 3,000 tons of ammonium nitrate in the midst of its longtime enemies in the Christian community. The jihadists knew full well the danger. They had used this highly explosive substance in successive murderous terrorist attacks. As the world mobilizes to provide humanitarian relief to Lebanon, it must go to the victims, not empower or legitimate the jihadists responsible for their suffering. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning, America. I'm Jake Christian Adams. I'm subbing for Sandy Rios this week. It's great to be with you. We've been talking about all sorts of things this hour with Hans von Sikowski about the elections. But we're going to turn to what is sort of an unfortunate story. And I think a lot of you have been seeing it on TV in one way or another over the last couple of months. We're joined by Linda Kearns. Linda is an attorney. She has a great blog or a great website called broadandliberty.com. That's broadandliberty.com. You should check it out. Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Christian. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, Linda, I want to talk about, you're in Philadelphia. That's where you live, right?
I'm in Philadelphia, and today on my way to work, I took a picture and I tweeted it out at Linda Kearns Law, at Linda Kearns Law, and it's a picture of trash littering the streets in front of houses that go for over $1 million, and that's what I want to talk to you about today.
And before we get there, let's set this up. You know, my parents actually met in Philadelphia. That's where my mother and father met, was in the city of Philadelphia in the 60s. And for those of you who don't sort of know the history of the town, I mean, it was a pretty glamorous place. I mean, you have the Mummers Parade every year. People get all dressed up to go out on the town. It was sort of the pinnacle of American industrial might and wealth. You had industrial power. The factories would glow all night with industry, and the economy was humming. And, you know, you had the Army-Navy game there all the time, where the cadets and the midshipmen would come all dressed up, and the streets were clean. A lot of immigrants, but by golly, they worked hard. You know, I'll tell you the moment that I thought things really started now to really turn. It was an Army-Navy game where all of, I think they were midshipmen, and they were all cheering at Veterans Stadium. I think it was Veterans Stadium. And all of a sudden, the railings collapsed, right? And some of you will remember this image of all these midshipmen just falling because the infrastructure was starting to fail. Linda, do I have Philadelphia down pretty good that it was a really nice place at one point?
Look, I still love Philadelphia, so I don't want to knock Philadelphia
too much
because it is my home, and it's where I work, and it's where I live. But Philadelphia cannot get out of its own way, and the reason is the leaders that the citizens elect. The municipal government just does not do its job, and the trash littering the streets is a great example.
Well, okay, let's talk about this. First of all, I told some of the listeners earlier in the hour that you had it's not just the trash, it's the crime. And you had George Soros and the Open Society Institute funding a candidate who won, by the way. Tell the listeners about that.
Right. Soros pumped well over $1 million into our DA race. And the district attorney candidate that he got behind campaigned. His entire platform was that he wanted to reduce the amount of people in jail. He wanted to get rid of bail. And he wanted to treat criminals more fairly. He was running for district attorney, and that was his platform. Now, that should be a platform for someone who wants to be a defender or a social worker, not the district attorney. And Philadelphia voted for him, and we got exactly what we voted for because crime is skyrocketing in Philadelphia, and it's dangerous, and it's scary, and it's not fair to people who just want to get up, go to work, earn a living, and enjoy their homes and families. It's an absolute disgrace.
Well, talking with Linda Kearns, she's a lawyer in Philadelphia who is an editor at broadandliberty.com. I'd like to hear from you at 1-888-589-8840. And folks, we're not talking about this because we just want to talk about Philadelphia. This is a story of what is happening in America. And if you think that it doesn't matter who you vote for, if elections really don't impact your way of life and your town, this is living witness to what can go wrong when the crazy people take over. And Linda, let me ask you this. Would it be a great place to raise a family right now in Philadelphia? Would it be a great place to start a church? Would it be a great place to basically live a decent life?
Absolutely not. I walk down the street and our stores and restaurants are barricaded with plywood, partly from the coronavirus and partly from the riots that we experienced in June. There's trash all over the streets because the city just cannot get it together. They're supposed to pick up trash on certain days. The citizens put it out and it just doesn't get picked up and it sits there and it gets wet and people throw more trash on it and it falls in the streets and it's an absolute disgrace. The restaurants that try to open are subject to such horrendous restrictions that they can't even make money. And every day they announce more businesses that are closing. And the crime is just increasing. And the criminals are empowered because our DA has decided that he doesn't think that we should have any type of cash bail. And he believes that we should release people back onto the streets pending their trials and also not prosecute what he calls petty crimes. And that is a phrase that I really do not like because every crime has a victim and it's not petty to the victim. And this is causing Philadelphia to just spiral downward.
And when you say cash bail, just for those of us who were not cursed going to law school like you and I, cash bail is when you're arrested for like robbery, you can post bail and get out of jail. It's part of the Bill of Rights, where the excessive bail shall not be imposed. It doesn't say bail shall not be imposed in the Constitution. It says excessive bail shall not be imposed. And it's the idea that you can be out of jail as long as you post a bond. But they're getting rid of that in Philadelphia, aren't they? They're just saying you don't have to post anything. Just, you know, you've been arrested for violent assault. We'll let you go, right?
Right, right. And then come back when it's your court date. And frankly, you know, that's not a lot of incentive for criminals to come back. And it makes the victim scared. It makes law-abiding citizens scared. And people, you know, moms and pops who own shops, they cower in fear because they know that these criminals are absolutely empowered because no one is really taking crime seriously. Our government has other priorities that our government has these progressive values as a priority, not protecting the citizens. And, you know, what you said is spot on about, you know, be careful because it could be coming for you, because we have watched these progressive values seep into the suburbs surrounding Philadelphia, the five counties, and all of those governments are turning over. The progressives are moving out to the suburbs, and they're imposing their progressive values out there. And it's like a cancer. It's toxic. It's seeping out into all of society, and every election counts. Even if you're electing someone like a dog catcher, that counts because you want someone who wants to do the job that they're elected to do, not transform the government.
What I'm trying to emphasize is that ideas have consequences, and politics has consequences. And when you elect people who are lawless, when you elect people who think that skin color matters and instead of shouldn't matter, then you have these consequences. You know, Linda, I remember the chief of police of Philadelphia, I think it was the chief of police, a couple of weeks ago actually announced that they were going to stop investigating and stop arresting this whole long list of crimes, many of which involved property crimes and crimes against people. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah, and it scares citizens. It scares the taxpayers. And it's making Philadelphia just not a good place, like you said, to raise a family or start a business. We do have a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney who has announced an initiative where he's going to start indicting people for crimes that can be indicted under federal law, such as like a robbery with force. So he's really trying to step into the shoes, unfortunately, of the district attorney who should be doing that. And he's going to try to help stem the crime. But we need more. We need people who are our leaders who are committed to the safety and security of our citizens.
You're talking with Linda Kearns of broadandliberty.com, and she's in Philadelphia, living under what happens when the left takes control. And it's not just a city that's gleaming and shiny with left-wing politics. It's civilizational breakdown, folks. And imagine what would happen in your town where you live if the police announced they were no longer going to investigate and prosecute a whole list of serious crimes. Imagine if the garbage... they were no longer going to pick up the garbage. Imagine if the district attorney took the side of the criminals. Imagine if all of these progressive policies started appearing in your town, what your life would be like, how your life would change when violent mobs feel like they can roam the streets at night. I remember images of Wawa's being looted in Philadelphia with impunity. It was like watching something I can't even begin to describe it. It was horrifying. Linda, you have some of the most restrictive COVID laws in the entire United States. In other words, your governor, his name is Wolf. Governor, is it Tom Wolf?
Yes, Tom Wolf.
Tom Wolf. And you have, shall we say, a rather unique Surgeon General named Rachel Levine. And the two of them are always imposing more restrictions. And by the way, if you have not seen one of these press conferences with Tom Wolf and Rachel Levine, folks, I strongly urge you to Google it. If you haven't seen one of these press conferences where they're imposing more restrictions on your life in Philadelphia, it's something to see. You have all these heavy-duty COVID restrictions on top of this, don't you? You're like the worst place in America for not being able to open up.
You're right. It's horrible. We're basically barely allowed to do anything, and it's getting worse every day. And business owners, even business owners who formerly thought of themselves as progressive or thought of themselves as liberal, are begging to release some of these restrictions so that we can open up some of the restaurants. Right now, we're only allowed to sit outside at restaurants, and that's. It's not acceptable when it's 95 degrees in Philly or when it's raining, and there's just not enough room for these restaurants to have enough tables to make money, and they are closing left and right. And you just mentioned Wawa. It's our famous convenience store. Everyone in the Philadelphia area loves Wawa. We think it's the best convenience store in the world. They just announced yesterday that the flagship Wawa that's right next to City Hall is closing, and they're saying it's because of the coronavirus, and it might be partly because of that, but as soon as that Wawa opened, it became a magnet for homeless people to stand outside and beg, and the police were not allowed to do anything about it, on orders from the government, and it was a horrible place to go. So that's an example of how our government coddles the criminals, coddles illegal immigrants, coddles the non-law abiding, and the people who pay their taxes, who follow the laws, who go to work, they're the ones who suffer.
We're on with Linda Kearns. She's with Broad and Liberty in Philadelphia, describing what it looks like when civilization begins to break down in your hometown. Matthew, you're in Oklahoma. What do you have to say about George Soros?
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask why he's not prosecuted for the treasonous activity that he's been involved in, because a case can be made, and I'm just an ordinary American. I'm a veteran, but I'm tired of this. I'm tired of seeing this. This guy gets away with murdering people, maybe not directly, but basically he is, with his money. And you're both attorneys, so I want to get your take. I'd love to see something happen right to this guy, because if you don't take off the head of the snake, it's going to continue to bite and kill people.
Well, thank you very much, Matthew. First of all, recognize that Soros is only one of many, many philanthropic streams fueling this sort of thing. He's just the most visible. So even if he were gone, there's more like him. But the harder question is the treason. It takes an act under the Constitution, and simply engaging in what could be arguably ideological fights might not be treason. I don't know. It's a complicated question. I understand your frustration. Ann, you're in Alabama. Does Alabama sound like Philadelphia, Ann?
No, thankfully. maybe in some places, but I just love AFR. I've learned so much, and you tell the truth like it needs to be told. Sandy, E.W. Jackson, is just phenomenal. I called specifically, and I don't know how this can be implemented, but when people are arrested for their rioting and damage that they caused, I would love to see five people at a time that day or the next morning line up before a judge. They don't need an attorney. They stand there and the judge says, you will go out and clean streets for 20 hours until you're done.
There we go. I like that idea. You know, whatever happened to the stocks, too? Ooh, that's politically incorrect. No stocks around here. What do you say? You can go to jail for 30 days or you spend one day in the stocks. I'd like to see the stocks at City Hall, Linda. Thanks for coming on the show, Linda Kearns at broadandliberty.com, sharing with us your insights about how civilization breaks down in your hometown.
Yes, thanks for having me. Remember, every vote counts. Don't let this happen where you live.
Take care. Listen, I'm J. Christian Adams. It's been a real thrill subbing for Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio this week. I'm not going to be with you tomorrow, so hopefully we'll have a chance to catch up again. Thank you so much for listening and spending time and great calls. I appreciate it. You have a great day. I'm J. Christian Adams signing out for American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.